decide.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Sai's glory, his divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Dear listeners, greetings and loving Sai Ram from Prashanti Nilayam. You are tuned to Radio Sai's Asia Stream, bringing you the message of Bhagawan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Good morning and a warm welcome to today's Thursday Live, and this is the segment Morning Glory. At the very outset, let us all collectively offer our humble pranams at the lotus feet of the voice and the listener of Radio Sai Global Harmony, Bhagawan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Well, I'm sure, dear listeners, that some of you must be wondering as to who is this speaking, as generally Sister Karuna hosts Morning Glory every Thursday, right? Well, Sister Karuna is busy with some pleasant duties, and so she has told me to host Morning Glory for today and for the next couple of Thursdays. I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai, and I thank her, and I also thank Swami for this opportunity of hosting Morning Glory. Well, dear listeners, whenever I'll be hosting Morning Glory, I have brought a new feature, which is a bhajan request program. As part of this new feature, dear listeners, you can mail me the name of your favorite Sai Bhajan, which you would like to listen to again and again, and I will play it for you in Radio Sai. Yes, my email ID is raghu@radiosai.org. That is R-A-G-H-U, raghu@radiosai.org. And you can mail me one of your favorite Sai Bhajan, which you would like to listen to again and again, and I'll play it for you at Radio Sai. In fact, today I may not be able to play it for you because I have got lined up two special interviews which will go till 11 o'clock. But I promise you, next Thursday, when we start Morning Glory, I will start the Morning Glory with the Bhajan Request program. And I'm sure I'll get mails from many of you. So what I'll do is, I will play the bhajan requests of first three listeners who send me the mails. All right. Today is 6th of July, 2017, and the time right now in our studio is 9:43 a.m. Well, everything about Prashant Nilayam is divine, including the weather right now. It's a cool and pleasant morning with a mild breeze blowing, and it's a bit cloudy in the sky. Just now, the bhajans in Sai Kulant Hall concluded, the Sai bhajans after the Mangala Arati, and I'm sure many of you would have listened to the Vedam chanting and bhajans live through Asia Stream or Radio Sai Global Harmony. And right now, many Swami's devotees have lined up in Sai Kulant Hall to offer their pranams to Bhagavan. Well, this is the month of July, and today is 6th of July. And 2 days ago, that was on 4th of July, we witnessed the festival of Ashadi Ekadashi. This is a festival where Lord Vishnu is worshipped. And there's a place called Pandharpur in Maharashtra, where there's a temple for Lord Vishnu, Vitthala temple. And on this day of Ashadi Ekadashi, that is 2 days ago, lakhs of pilgrims come to Pandharpur and they celebrate this festival. Well, as part of this festival, hundreds of devotees, Swami's devotees from the state of Maharashtra have come to Prashant Nilayam, and from the last couple of days, many programs have been put up in Sai Kulant Hall, many cultural programs, which includes talks, dance, music, drama presentations, and much more. And all these cultural presentations have been captured through video and were webcast live through our Radio Sai .org website, and I'm sure many of you would have seen these programs live. In case if you have missed, don't worry, you can go to Radio Sai's YouTube channel and you can watch these programs. Today is 6th of July, and 3 days from now, that is on 9th of July, we will be celebrating one very important festival in Prashanilam calendar, that is Guru Purnima, on the day when we worship our Guru specially, and our Guru is none other than Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, right? Okay, for today's morning glory, I have got two exciting interviews lined up for you. The first interview is with the former students of Bhagwan. It's part of the series Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. And the second interview is with a devotee of Bhagwan. So the first interview is with Miss Mala Daswani Balani. And let's listen to it. But before that, I'll be playing for you one very important announcement.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Here is an important announcement. Shri Satya Sai Archives is a state-of-the-art facility built with the objective of preserving the precious messages of Bhagwan Baba for posterity. These are audio recordings such as audio tapes, spools, cassettes and gramophone records, video recordings such as VHS, SVHS, Hi8, Mini DV and HDV tapes, Betacam, DVCam, Big and Small, DigiBeta, including 16mm and 8mm films. Also images, photos and negatives, color and black and white, and manuscripts, letters, articles, poems, songs, etc., all written exclusively by Bhagwan Baba. Currently, we have a very impressive collection of the above. Many of them have been donated by devotees. Before preserving these items in the custom-designed vaults in the archival building, they have been digitized. This facilitates content access in electronic form and helps in spreading the message of Swami. Very few organizations in India and abroad are able to undertake this digitization work, as the necessary technology and equipment needed are no more available. With difficulty, few organizations have been identified who are willing to undertake this digitization work. This digitization work has been entrusted to Radio Sai Division. It is possible that many devotees may have in their personal possession some or all of the above items. This is to appeal to such persons to provide access to such assets for us to digitize the same. If they so desire, we could also retain them for long-term preservation with due acknowledgement process being followed. Kindly get in touch with the following for further clarification and details. Professor Sudhir Bhaskar, Director, Radio Sai Division, Sri K. Chakravarti, Member Secretary, Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. Thank you and Sai Ram.
Tune in to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. My guest today is Mrs. Mala Daswani Balani, who comes to us from St. Thomas, U.S. Virgin Islands. Mala Balani is in the retail business and she has been in this line of work for the last 3 decades. Mala was born in Hong Kong and she went to school in Bangalore. She joined Baba's college at Anantapur in the year 1978, from where she completed her intermediate first and second levels. And in 1980 to 1983, she was enrolled in the Bachelor of Arts program at the Sri Satya Sai University in Anantapur campus. Mala comes from a family that has been deeply devoted to Baba for decades. Today we hope to relive with Mala some of her early years with Baba and also learn how he continues to be an integral part of her life even today, 6 years after the Mahasamadhi at St. Thomas. On that note, I welcome Mala. Sai Ram, Mala.
Sai Ram, Karuna.
And welcome to Radio Sai.
Thank you, Sai Ram.
And dear listeners, I forgot to make a very important but small mention. Mala and I are classmates. We were together during our bachelor's program at Anantapur. So it's very nice to have a sister sit across from me and relive the times when I was a part of her life also.
Likewise, Karuna. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you. Very nice of you to say that, Mala. So, tell us how exactly, because you have such an old and long, I remember as a student always hearing these stories about your parents coming to Swami so early. How did your journey really begin?
It was actually in 1967, Karuna. It was my mother, she was invited to they were having the inauguration for the bank in Kadugori, Whitefield. And my Nana, my grandpa, he was the postmaster general in Bangalore. And my mother, Sundari Bhagwandas Daswani, was invited to go with my grandfather, Narindas Chandiramani, for the inauguration of the bank in Kadugori. And it all started from there. And since she had returned from Hong Kong, she had never been into the Sai fold or anything as such. But there was this lovely person, her name was Indra Melwani, and they used to have business in Bangalore. It was called Bola Traders. And she insisted, she told my mother, Sundari, why don't you come with me to Whitefield on Sundays? Swami's program is wonderful. He comes out in the Sai Ram Share, there are bhajans. So my mother was, sure, why not? And then they used to catch the train from the Bangalore East Station in Bangalore and come to Whitefields, walk to the ashram. The very first visit of my mother, I'm talking in 1967 in the summer, and Swami called her for an interview. So she did not know what is an interview, where is he calling me? She had no clue. And then the ushers guided her to Swami's residence. And there was also another lady who Swami called along with my mother, and her name was Mrs. Gambhir. And this lady used to play the dholak in the Sai Ram shed. And when the two of them were inside, they were just looking at each other, and Swami said, these are two long-lasting sisters. So my mother didn't figure that out. And he said, dekho, ye dholak bajati hai ek hi tune mein. Dung dung tuk, dung dung tuk, and dusra change karo abhi tune. And then he told my,
plays the same tune,
the same tune all the time, Karuna. And it started with that. And then he told my mother, you are very devoted to me, and your bhakti is Meera bhakti. So my mother was seeing Swami the first time for an interview, and she was like, I don't pray to you. And he said, no, why are you lying? Every morning you pray to me. Don't you read the Shabad from the Guru Granth Sahib? So mom was like, nobody here knows about my faith and think, how does he know everything? And I don't know this lady and I haven't mentioned anything to her. So how come Swami is telling me that he knows and I take the Huknama and blessings to the family? And she was totally into the Sukhmani Sahib from the Guru Granth Sahib also. And this is how, from that day, and when she came home, she was like lost. We said, Mom, what happened? And she said, you know, Sai Baba gave me an interview. And in this interview, there were things he mentioned, which I've not told anybody, not even my mother, not my father. This was really something. And then began the journey to Swami's fold. My father was not a Sai devotee, but all we siblings just, you know, because mom was there taking care of us, and we got into this fold. To let you know, my brother Chandrasekhar, who studied in Swami's college in Vrindavan, he and myself, we were very two naughty siblings. And I think Swami knew now is the time to control us. So every Sunday it was like he would give us something just to make sure we come to Vrindavan. And with this sweet Swami of ours, oh, I can tell you, Karuna, life for us was totally different. Things changed for us. And with Mom, with so much of implicit faith in Swami, if she got up, it was Sairam. If she slept, it was Sairam. Everything for her was Sairam. That's it. And this is how our journey begins with Swami. Beautiful, beautiful.
And it's wonderful that all of you are still in the Sai fold, still connected to his mission and serving him later with all your children.
All of the children, grandchildren. Now, soon there'll be a great-grandchild, but everybody is in the fold. Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, it is. So I'm sure given the association which began in 1967 at a physical level with Swami, with your mother getting her first interview, there must be so many treasure trove of wonderful experiences. If you can share some of the highlights, Mala, it would be such a treat for all of us.
Sure, Karuna. As I told you, for Mom, she joined the Mahila Vibhag. That was for the first women's league, you know, the wing. And whenever she went to Vrindavan and she prayed to Swami, just heart and heart, she used to come back home and see most of the things are done, you know. And there was one incident I remember. This gentleman, he came and he asked for my mother and we did not recognize him. And he said, your father has sent something for your mother because she's going to be building a house. And we didn't know. And Mom just came back from Swami's darshan and she couldn't believe it. This was instant, you know. Swami says, I listened to your prayers, but this prayer was very instant. And soon after that, there was a house built.
What did he send though?
A lot of money.
Cash.
From Hong Kong, cash. And in a suitcase. And his name was Mr. Balaji. So who has sent you? Oh, Mr. Samtani from Bombay, because he is the relative of your father. Wonderful. For Mom, it was like, wow, this is instant, Swami. You know, and then the next day she went to thank him. And Swami told her, now you build your house and you name it Sai Vihar. She said, Sai Nivas? He said, nahi. Sai Nivas nahi. Sai Vihar. Kyunki Swami wahan uska vihar hai. Nivas to ghar hota hai. Vihar mein Swami rehta hai. So it began like that, and then there were plenty, many, many more experiences. And to let you know, I'm going to mention to you, this is really lovely. This is when my brother Chandru, the Chandrasekhar Das Swami, when he was in Swami's college.
In Vrindavan.
And
this would be in the late 70s?
It was in 1975.
Uh-huh.
So my father was visiting us from Hong Kong. And he was not there to go and see Swami. As I told you, he was still not in the fold. Besides his siblings, he was not. So he told my mother, I want to surprise my son. I want to go to Whitefield to see my son. So my mom said, sure, and I will not let him know. We'll just go and surprise him. But sure enough, our dear Swami, he couldn't wait. And he broke the surprise to Chandru and he told him, Chandru in short, we call Chandrasekhar Chandru in short. And he said, you know, who's coming today? Your father. It is their 25th wedding anniversary and he's coming here to see you. He doesn't want to see me, but I know everything. And he's wearing a purple pant and a blue shirt and you better go by the Vrindavan gate, stand there in the evening and you go and receive him. So my brother was, you know, surprised. And anyway, he did as Swami says. In the evening, he goes and stands by the gate. And my father was shocked to see Chandru because Chandru was always 4 feet 8 inches. And one day Swami in Vrindavan, when they were having bhajans in Trey, he pulled his feet and he told him, now you're going to get tall. And anyways, he went and stood outside the gate.
Did he grow?
Yes, you can see Chandru now. You've seen him?
No.
He is 5'10" almost.
Oh, okay. I've never seen your brother.
No. And anyway, so when my brother stood near the gate, my father was surprised to see him.
Oh, his son is 1'10", a few inches
already,
taller.
Yes. And he couldn't believe it. And then while he was talking, there was Sevadal who came running and he said, "Chandrasekhar, Swami is calling your parents inside. He wants your father, your mother and you to come for an interview." So my father, he refused to go in. He said, "No, I don't want to see any Sai Baba or any Baba." And anyways, my brother said, "No, please, you know, it is Swami." And my mother was excited. And the three walked into the interview. And Swami looked at my father and he mentioned to him certain things which nobody knew in our family, only my father. It seems when my father was in Bahrain, and he was there was a fire in that building, and my father was stuck in the elevator. But my mother, in the past, she had written him a letter while he was in Hong Kong, saying that I go to this Swamiji, and he is called Satya Sai Baba, and he is a wonderful guru, and he has blessed our whole family, and one day you should come and visit us and see him. I'll take you to Vrindavan. So this was just a thought my father had while he was in the lift, you know, and the whole building was on fire, and he just thought, he said, "Oh, if there is God and if that's Sai Baba, if my wife believes so, you can come rescue me." And he had forgotten about this incident. And Swami reminded him. He says, "You know, from the minute you prayed to me," he said, "but I never prayed to you." He said, "Yes, in the lift in Bahrain. The whole building was on fire. And you called, you said, 'Sai Baba, if you are, you thought about me. And you said, God, wherever you are, so I was there with you.'" And he was the only person saved in that fire. And this was in Bahrain. And then he told my father a few more things. He told him, "You smoke, it's not good for your health. Smoking, ko band karo." And he materialized a ring and he gave it to him. He put it in his right hand and he asked him, "How's the size?" My father looked and he said, "It's perfect." He said, "Not tight?" My father said, "No." And now going back, then in 1976, my sister, my older sister, Jaya Balani, she got married in Lucknow. So everybody went for the wedding. And then my father returned back to Hong Kong. While he was in Hong Kong, he had a massive attack.
Heart attack.
Yes, three, you know. And they rushed him to the hospital where he was pronounced no more. But it seems, you know, he was thinking, because Swami in that interview mentioned to him that next year, bring your older son, I'll get him married. So the thought was, if I'm not alive and if I don't bring my son, how would you get him married? And this is just, you know, the thought that's going on in his mind. And since the doctors had pronounced that my older brother was there, his name is Deepak Daswani, and they said, "You can start preparing for funeral rites. Whoever you have to call, call." My brother Chandrasekhar was supposed to attend summer showers in Vrindavan. And my mother and myself were supposed to be going to Hong Kong. But since this thing happened, my brother called. In those days, you know, it used to be like a trunk call. It was nothing like these days. And my brother was also seeing my sister-in-law at that time. They were not engaged, but, you know, soon the engagement was to be, so that Swami could perform the marriage the next year. Going ahead there, we went to Swami because my brother called us and gave us the news that Dad is no more. So my mother told Chandru, "Go to Swami and this thing." At the minute he reached Vrindavan in the morning, Swami just patted him on his cheek and he said, "Kyun ladki jaisa rota hai?" Swami, "Haan, malum hai. father ko teen attack hua. Swami hai na, why fear when I am here?
Why are you crying like a girl? I know that your father
That's
had three
correct.
Attacks.
That's correct, Karuna. And we flew to Hong Kong, but Chandrasekhar couldn't fly with us because he got a ticket that was a child's ticket. And Swami mentioned to him, when father sees you after a week, he'll get satisfaction. So he was totally confused. Here my older brother is saying he's no more. Here Swami is saying after a week when you see him, but I'm going tomorrow. I don't understand. So when we reached Chennai, Madras at that time, they told him, you cannot fly. And only my mother and myself, we flew to Singapore. And then from Singapore to Hong Kong, we went to the ICU. The night previous to all this, in our altar, there was a picture of Swami, where there was all Amrit coming out from the picture. And I asked my mother.
In the hospital, meanwhile.
And in the hospital, it was all pronounced that he's no more. And, of course, they were preparing him for the morgue. And my brother, you know, he told my sister-in-law,
Deepak, the older brother,
can you call some of my family who is over here? Because my father's side family was in Hong Kong. And they can do the last rites, whatever they have to. And in the meantime, we are flying from Bangalore to, because Swami gave us permission to leave. And when we got there to the hospital, it seems in the night, my father has been taken to ICU. Imagine he's revived by Swami. And this was after like about 20 minutes after his passing away. They've taken him to the ICU. And in the ICU, on the chair, I mean, imagine ICU means you're supposed to be on the bed with all the
tubes and
everything, connections going on. And my brother was there. And this nurse in Chinese, she started screaming, there's a ghost, there's all ash on this gentleman, and how come he's on the chair? You know, it seems Swami had lifted him and put him on the chair, a resting chair, armchair, and there was all vibhuti. And when
on
my father. And when we reached Hong Kong and I showed my father the picture, he did not recognize us or anything because he was still sedated with all the medication and everything. And when I showed my father the picture, only with his arm, he went with his hand and his finger, he kept putting it to the ceiling and he couldn't even, but I could hear.
He was just mouthing the word Baba.
But
nobody could hear. He must have been very weak, obviously.
Yes. And after 6 months, after he recovered, he gave us the whole story of what had happened. So this was one big example. He was no more. And Swami comes and he tells him, now this is not your body. This is my body. What I want to do with this body, I'm going to do it. And you have to come back and see me. And then the next year, of course, he went. And Swami told him, what, you're having difficulty even getting up? I told you, this is not your body. This is my body. And then the mission in Hong Kong begins. They had a Sai center made. And today, Hong Kong is full of Sai devotees.
And your daddy was a big man, wasn't he?
Of course.
Swami lifted him and...
Yes. He called him Pakoda. Mm-hmm. You know? He said, this is... So, this is beautiful. That was one of the, you know, memories I can share with you.
Did you ever talk to Swami about this incident later? Did Dad come back to talk?
Yes, he did. This was in 1978 when he performed my brother, older brother Deepak's wedding in Vrindavan, Whitefield. Yes.
What did Swami say about the incident?
And he told him, as I told you, Swami told him, this is not your body. Now what I want to do with this body, I'm going to do it. And Daddy survived 21 years after that. So it was...
Quite an extension.
Big extension, you know. And he changed him completely. Things for everybody in the family changed. You know, it was lovely.
I think that must have been quite an influence on the Sindhi community in that part of the world.
Of course, very much. Not only Sindhi, even the Chinese. The doctors who performed on him. And the doctors, there was one guy, one of the doctors, he said that, you know, I would love to come and see this miracle man, because my father met him in the lift, the doctor, and he asked him, when you performed on me the last, he all said that I'm no more. And there was this ring. Did you see this ring on me? He said, no, there's no metal allowed. So we got everything cleaned out and removed, and he said, this ring. You see, you're a doctor, you believe in medicine world, but I'm a human being, I believe in miracle world. And he showed him Swami's thing. He said, he is the one who performs my miracles. He said, well, if that is so, if I can go to the UK, if I'm promoted to go to the UK, I'll know he's a miracle man. But I'll definitely want to come and see him, visit him in India when it's your son's wedding, you know. But he didn't come, and he thanked my father. I'm sure today, sitting in London, he must be a Sai devotee also, you know. So, this is one thing. And then, coming to...
How did you end up joining, becoming a Sai student, Mala? Okay. You were going to school in Bangalore City.
Yeah, but then I went back to Hong Kong. And I was helping in my father's business. And I came for the summer showers in Vrindavan. Summer course in Vrindavan.
On Indian culture.
In 1978, yes. So, when the course was going on, and the last day, Swami asked me, Mera school mein aayega?
Will you come to my school?
Will you join my school? I said, your school? I couldn't follow. He said, Anantapur. I said, sure, Swami. You know, I mean, for me, it was a thing. I said, lovely, I would love to. And my mother said, but they used to call me baby instead of Mala. It's a lot of discipline. It's going to be difficult. You want to go and join? I said, Mama, Baba is asking me to join, so how can I not, you know? But the admissions and all had already closed. Everything was done. And Principal Hemalata was in Bangalore. He calls her and he says, this is my child. Give her admission tomorrow. She's coming to the college tomorrow. So I go there. We took the night train to Anantapur. I join Anantapur. She asked me, what would you prefer to take? Would you like to go for arts, or do you want to do science or math? And I just closed my eyes for a second, and I said, Swami, and he said, arts. So that's when I started, and it was so beautiful. I have to share this with you, Karuna. The week after, Swami comes to Anantapur campus, and I'm standing by the library entrance to the thing. I was still, you know, new to the campus, new to everything. And for me, when it came to food and everything, it was very difficult for the first week. But anyway, now that Swami is in the campus, and I stand near the entrance of the library, and Swami comes from there. He said, Swami used to call me Hong Kong. Just make it clear. And he comes to me, and he says, hey, Hong Kong, kaisa hai? And he lifted his eyebrows like that. And, acha hai? Are you well?
How are you?
I said, very well, Swami, thank you. Khata nahi hai? You're not eating? No, Swami, early morning rice. I'm not used to that, you know. Oh, don't worry, everything will be okay. I'm going to speak to Jayama Gopinath. And he spoke to Jayama Madam. He said, this is my child, take care of her. And from that day, I have to tell you, life in Anantapur, I'm so thankful and grateful. If it was not for there, this discipline, this love, this Swami who I know of, wouldn't be, you know, if it was not for me being in Anantapur. I think every girl, every student should go through Anantapur campus. It's beautiful. Just beautiful. And you know, when we met and you came in the...
You brought in a lot of laughter into your life.
A lot.
And fun, yes.
And you all knew I was a naughty girl from Hong Kong. So, you know, as Jema Madam and Pushpa Madam always, but Swami's love. Every time we came to Parthi, from the minutest to the minutest,
truly.
From the health part of it, from the health aspect, or from anything, even when it is, then we didn't want to go back home for holidays. You say, this is your house. You're always going to be here. Whenever you all want, you all are most welcome. This is Mother's house, the love of thousand mothers. This is beautiful, Swami. Every incident, I don't know how to express it, but I'm so thankful and I'm indebted to it today. To all my staff, my seniors, like Rajeshwari Patel, and your sister Kavita, and Kalpana, and everybody in that campus. It was so much of sisterly love. We didn't miss anything.
And we all loved Swami.
We just loved
the
Swami.
One center of our lives.
The main thing was Swami.
Swami.
And, oh, anything. Oh, yes, Swami. Yes, ma'am. We're ready, you know.
Yeah.
It was just like that.
Studies were just an excuse to...
It was an excuse, 100%. Yeah, I agree with you with that.
But so, you were sincere. You used to study compared to
from
the rest
you,
of us.
I was naughty too. But it was a beautiful experience. All those years were... I mean, it was like a dream come true.
And so many visits of Swami during your years.
Oh,
there.
how many. I can't even... Maybe like 5-6 visits of Swami.
Any other memories of those visits you have?
Oh, yes. Plenty. You know, when I remember there was this... student, her name was, she was from, her name was Sulekha, and she was from Africa.
Right.
So. And Swami asked her to sing, and she sang a song in African. And this was in the campus in Anantapur, not in the hostel, right. In the campus. And
Sulekha Ramachandran.
Ramachandran from Chennai. Yeah. And that song, it like as if it was connecting me somewhere. For all I knew, one day Swami would tell me, you have to go and live in the U.S. Virgin Islands, where I would see so many people from Africa. And then, you know, the words of the song, it meant that you are my loving master. And I cannot remember the song, but at least what it meant, I came to know the meaning only when I went to St. Thomas, U.S. Virgin Islands.
Mm.
I met a lot of people from Africa.
Oh, they sing the same song?
Kind of the wordings, you know.
And, you know, may her soul rest in peace at his lotus feet, Sulekha Ramachandran merged with Bhagwan in the year 2000-2001.
Oh. But each and every individual there made memories for my life.
Yeah. Many interviews too, right, Mala with Swami?
Many. I remember the last one when we were only 7 of us and Swami said, you know, I told him, Swami, you talk about discipline here with dress code and everything. For me, dress code, when it's saris, I don't wear them, Swami. I know you love us in saris, you gift us so many. But when I go home, I really don't wear sari. He said, mere ko malum hai. Jaisa desh, vaisa vesh. Means do in Rome as Romans do. And he mentioned to us so many things about practical living, how we girls should bring out, you know, we should not disrespect elders. He taught us values. And his main thing was, I want you, me andaru ma pillalu. That's how I think in Telugu he used to say.
All of you are my children.
My children. And never do something that will bring down Swami's name. So, I think in each and every interview, everything was so different. Sometimes he taught us about practical living, sometimes spiritual, sometimes it was like just everyday thoughts, what we think of. He said, make your thoughts pure. And whenever you all do anything, think of Sai. Think you all are doing it for Swami. And everything will fall in place. Today is the same things that I follow. Whatever Swami taught me in those interviews, whatever he mentioned in those interviews, till today in my life, in practical living, this is what it is. If it was not for Sai, then nothing else. And being in the Virgin Islands now, it's beautiful. When it started, there were only 3 members.
In the Sai group?
In the Sai. Uh-huh. There was no Sai center or anything. Yeah. So, now, when you see, in a regular satsang which we have on Thursdays, the bhajans, we have 35 members. Regular. And for a little place like St. Thomas, giving you the thing, location, it's only a 33 square miles where we have 75,000 population. It's not a big population. But as Swami used to say, I like quantity. Yeah, I like quality, but not quantity, you know. And this is how it is with these quality devotees, the amount of seva that's done, the things that have changed. Now it's a Sai center. Can you imagine, Karuna?
What kind of seva activities are there?
We go to the elderly home, there are orphanages, and there are also people like, you know, who are homeless. So for them, there's a Sunday seva of sandwiches and pure food made by the devotees, also by the SSC children. They bake little few things, we take it to the orphanage. And even the lunch that is given, or dinner, if it is served once a month to the homeless people, or the elderly home that we call it. There are 2 elderly homes we go to. We play bingo with these people. We give them T-shirts, which they, you know, love to wear. And whenever we go, you know what's the best thing, Karuna? Mm. I've never heard this even in India. The minute we get there, they'll say, Sai Ram, Sai Ram. You know, it's so beautiful. And then we give them the T-shirts, and then they'll say, love all, serve all.
Nice.
You know, all these little things of Swami, and it's now become like a Sai family. They wait, they look forward.
Mm.
Even when the SSC children, during Christmas time, they make these little cards, and instead of writing Secret Santa, they write Love Baba. And they'll put one of Swami's quotation. These people have nobody, and nobody ever has given them a greeting card or something. When they go and visit these people in the hospital, oh, you should just see how emotional they get. And they say, we are blessed. For little children who are 5 years old to go and give them a card. They don't need anything. It's just the love. And as Swami, our loving master, has said, nothing else but love, love, love. It's beautiful. We've had many of the Sai devotees from here. I could mention names. Professor Anil Kumar.
He has visited.
St. Thomas.
Nice.
Mr. Vednaranji. He has been. Plenty of other Sai devotees who from the States as well. And they tell you what St. Thomas is. It's because it's an island with mountains and curves like Parthi and, you know. So Professor Anil Kumar says, this is the ups and downs of life. Life is not just
smooth and steady,
and steady, but how Swami makes it steady, you know, and smooth. Because he's changed the name from St. Thomas to Sai Thomas. And it's so
sweet. I saw anyway named after a saint, so it has a sacred name.
So he calls it Sai Thomas. So now Sai is the same for St. Thomas.
Mm.
And every time, I wish all of you, including you, make it a point to come and visit us in St. Thomas. You will know. God says nature and beauty, you know. That is what God is. From the beaches to the oceans, from the morning sun to dusk, the air, everything is so pure. You can just feel Swami breathe. And we feel Him even more after the samadhi. such a beautiful, beautiful place to be in. When Swami, the first time when I remember in the interview, I told him, Swami, so far. He said, no, so near. You are near and dear. I'm always with you. You're my child. And this is what
this I can. This is what he told you when your mother was fixing your marriage.
That's true, 100%.
To your
you know,
husband.
And it was so far away. But today, I don't feel that distance. When I come to Parthi, it's the same feeling when what I have back home. It's really beautiful. It's really
has the, this passage of Swami with the form to formless, the Mahasamadhi, what has it changed for you?
In fact, it has brought me more closer, you know. And we have
positive
so many
change for
positive
you.
Changes. You feel His presence more, you know. It's just like we say, if the cell phone has to be charged, you have to put it in a circuit, right, to get it charged. He reminds us again and again that I'm here with you all. And now I'm charging you all for good. Swami told us that being Sai students just doesn't mean that you have to talk about, no. You have to do things in practical. And it has to have a meaning and a value. Everything has to. If we don't do it now, Karuna, then when? What is our role? What is our this thing to Swami? We have to be indebted to our Lord.
For what He has done.
You know, for what He has done.
That love cannot be measured or compared to anything.
No, no. This is what it is with Sai. It's a beautiful message for each and every one of us. That now is the time. We have to be in the march as the saints go by. We have to be there. And we have to bring Swami's dream and mission back. This is what it is with Sai.
Very nice. Thank you so much, Mala.
Thank you, my dear Karuna. It's really lovely seeing you. You know, I miss each and every individual. And because this is all Sai's love.
Exactly, that's what binds us, otherwise we are total strangers.
Where are we? Everyone in each end of the world, but this is what it is.
The glue that binds us into one loving family, Swami,
so
and His love.
Loving, so loving.
And the connection you feel with your Sai sisters and brothers sometimes is so much stronger than any other worldly connection.
100%.
Because I think the foundation, the base glue is so much stronger.
Very true. It's our Sai, the magnetism, you know,
Swami.
He pulls you.
Thank you for your time and thank you for your sharing your love for Swami with Radio Sai.
Thank you. Thank you, Karuna. Sai Ram. Sai Ram.
Tune in to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Sai Ram, 10:30 a.m. Indian Standard Time. And you are tuned to Asia Stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This is the segment Morning Glory of today's Thursday Live. I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai. And once again, a warm welcome. Well, dear listeners, till now you listen to a conversation with Mrs. Mala Dadlani Balani, a former student of Bhagwan's University, and in conversation with her was Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi. I hope you all liked the conversation as much as I did. Well, it was very nice to listen to experiences of Swami students with Bhagwan. You can send in your feedback, comments and suggestions to our email ID, that is listener@radiosai.org. Well, after a conversation with Bhagwan's former student, let's now listen to a conversation with Bhagwan's devotee, in which the devotee shares with us of her experiences with Bhagwan. But before listening to it, I would like to remind you once again, dear listeners, that whenever I'll be hosting the segment Morning Glory, I'll be featuring a new new thing called Bhajan Request Program. So you can send me the name of a favorite Sai Bhajan which you would like to listen to again and again, and I'll be playing it for you in Radio Sai. My email ID is raghu@radiosai.org. And dear listeners, just to clarify that out, the Morning Glory segment is from 9:40 a.m. to 11 a.m. every Thursday, and we have already got a couple of interviews to be played during this segment. And in between the interviews, whenever I get time, I'll play these bhajans which you have sent as a part of Bhajan Request Program. So please don't get disappointed if there is no time, but I'll surely make time and play it for you. Okay, let's now listen to a conversation with a Sai devotee. Her name is Ms. Deepali Changakoti, and this conversation is part two of the conversation. Part one of this conversation you had listened to last Thursday, and in conversation with her is Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi. Ms. Deepali Changakoti is from the northeastern Indian state of Assam, and from a family that was drawn to Bhagwan in as early as 1960. So I am sure this interview is going to be very interesting.
Swami was so kind and so loving. Once, when my uncle was visiting Vrindavan, he sent him to Anantapur to see us, and he gave specific instructions to my uncle saying, bring Deepali for Diwali. And Diwali was, I think, about a week after that. But then my uncle came running and he saw us and he told Jayama Madam. And Jayama Madam said, how can I send her now? How can I send her for Diwali? Work will suffer. She has to work. We are running short of hands. We have a dearth of English teachers. So she has to be here. And then So my uncle said, no, but I have to carry out Bhagwan's order. So she said, okay, you take her, but you have to bring her back soon. So anyway, I was allowed to go, but then Jayama Madam said, Deepa, I will give you a letter which should be handed over to Bhagwan. So I reached Vrindavan. Swami spoke to me, and then I handed over the letter, and then he comes back after reading the letter. I called you here for Diwali and Jayama wants you to go back. I said, Swami, you know best. You tell me what you want me to do. How could I exert my tiny brain for these such situations? Let him decide. So Swami said, no, you stay. You stay for some time. Then I believe after 3 or 4 days, Swami called us in for an interview. And he said, Deepali, I wanted you to come stay here for Diwali, but what to do? Jayama wants you back. She says, work is suffering. Then Swami, tell me, what should I do? Swami, you only decide for me. And very sweetly, he said, okay, stay. So maybe after a day or two, you can go. There were still 5 days for Diwali. So I said, okay, Swami, I was feeling very sad, but then these 4 or 5 days in his immediate divine proximity was so much. So I had to go back. But we were allowed to come now and then. Sometimes I came with the ex-students, and every time I went to Vrindavan, Swami would be so kind. He would come and ask me, where are you staying? I would say, Swami, we have not decided, maybe we'll stay outside. No, 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 don't stay outside, come inside. So we would go and stay inside of the mandir, and during that period we enjoyed a lot. Anyway, this went on for a year and a half. After that, Swami suddenly calls me away and says, now you look after your parents. By that time, my parents had come. They had moved in. And because Hirok had also joined, and he said, you come and be with your parents, serve them.
You were the oldest of your siblings?
Yeah, oldest. And then, so I came. But actually, he was preparing me for the bigger plan, you know. That's why, and now it was, he would do it directly. Earlier, he had created different situations, different places to train me up. But now he would be doing it directly. So I came. And then it was like, you know, 2-3 days I'm here. And then Swami decides, say for about 15 days, I'm at Vrindavan. Then he will say, come. He will take both me and mom to Parthi. And then call us in. I said, Swami, I have to go back. No Moscow. Keep quiet. Stay here. Look after your mother. And when the college people came, that was a beautiful drama Swami enacted. I don't know why. And the college people came, Pushpa Aunty and Jayama Madam and Purna Didi. And they asked Swami, Swami, you have to send Dipali. Swami said, yeah, I'll send her. I don't know why she's not going. So I didn't know what to say. And they can't get hold of me. And what is this? Why don't you go? Swami is asking you. I says, see, madam, okay, we'll thresh it out on the floor. I said, okay, fine. So Swami was going to see the college staff. She said, why do you stay sit separately? You come and sit with us. I said, madam, I tried. Once when I went and sat, he came, you saw, no? He came straight to me and he said, why you are not Anantapur? Why are you sitting over there? You go and sit with your mother. So I was packed off from there, sent off from there. So how can I come in? So, no, you come. So I went to the mandir and then again, same thing. Swami, as soon as he entered through the door, he saw me. Why are you sitting over here? You are not Anantapur. Swami, what is this, Swami? Please send her to the college. He said, no. You go now, I'll send her later. And he never sent me back. So Swami has his own plans and he knows what is best. So then, after that, say from 78 to 86, I was at Vrindavan with Swami. Wherever he went, sometimes we accompanied him, sometimes not. But then, do you remember I had told you that whenever we offered him something, he ate. That also had to be confirmed, isn't it?
That is in Shillong.
Shillong.
Before you met him in person.
Yeah, I was a schoolgirl at that time. Mm. And then what happened, it was such a joy, pure joy, because we were staying in the guest house, which was just next to the main gate, no, of Vrindavan. It has been pulled down and there are new apartments now. I think those are guest houses or something. So every evening, bhajans there, and we were allowed to go in. We were like all the time we had, as long as Bhagwan was there downstairs, we were there. And then we would go to the backyard, wait for darshan from there. We would often see him feeding a monkey, electrocuted monkey. He would feed him. He was one hand was
electrocuted. It was a disabled monkey.
Disabled monkey with an electrocuted
hand. Okay.
And he would always go near the window and beg for food. And Swami would invariably open it and put something into his hand. And he would eat. So that was, you know, it was so nice to see him. And then we would watch Swami. And one day, he called me from there. He said, Dipali, you don't cook? I said, Swami, yes, I cook. And you didn't make tiffin? I said, Swami, I made. If you don't cook, your husband is going to beat you. Husband. Bend him. I said, okay, Swami. And then, what happened? I didn't understand. I said, oh, I don't know what Swami meant by saying. I was cooking for my parents and all. And then Ratan Brijanti came. And Brijanti told me that Swami wants you to cook for him. Oh, then it struck me. Probably he was just reminding me that when I was cooking there in Shillong, he just wanted to confirm it probably. Anyway, I started cooking for him. I was sending food to him every day. Swami would eat and he'll say, food is very nice, but she puts a little bit of ghee on top. That is why your brother's Hirok has become a bonda. Because Dipali always puts ghee. But he would always, you know, said, that's what I heard from my brothers. He would praise her, very good cook, very good cook. But that is Swami's love. I don't know what I must have cooked, but that's his love. He has so much of love for us. But what I noticed is that, you know, at every step he was teaching us, he wants us to be like that. You know, we must have so much of love for people. The love which he showed to all of us, he wants us also to have that much of love for everybody, to love all and serve all. In fact, when I think about it, you know, when you think about the previous incarnations, the avatars in the previous ages, they all came equipped with maybe a bow and arrow, a sword or a mace. But here was Bhagwan equipped with the most potent weapon of love. Because unlike the other previous avatars who eradicated and eliminated evil in the form of rakshasas and demons, Bhagwan was trying to actually transform us, because there's a Kurukshetra in our hearts, in every heart in fact. There's always a war between the human values and the Kshatriyas, the six enemies. So if he has to kill, he has to kill all of us. So he was, you know, he was using love, so much of love, that love itself transformed so many. But then he was actually teaching us to transform ourselves first before we tried to transform others. Otherwise, when you know, like whatever we say, it will fall on deaf ears. Now, that's my personal experience, and so that's what I'm saying. Because if you just keep on rattling out orders, nobody listens to you unless you practice it.
Especially in an organization that is driven by the spirit of volunteerism, nobody is bound to you or answerable to you for their next paycheck or their, you know, physical survival.
Yeah.
So unless leaders practice what they, what Swami taught and become embodiments of his message, they won't have that moral authority to evoke a good team spirit from the rest.
Yeah, that's true. Now, one beautiful experience I want to share, because, you know, Swami transcends time and space and everything. So we were actually a witness to many miracles which he had performed, some related to the previous yogas. I will just mention one.
Please.
And that was during the Ram Navami, when Swami was talking about Rama, and he said he was so beautiful. He said every part of his body was so beautiful. You know, you just look, suppose you look at his fingers, your eyes will stay there. He was so beautiful. And then as he was talking about all that, suddenly he waved his hand and a big ring with the Kaushala stone came out.
What is the Kaushala stone?
Kaushala stone, I'll tell you. Then Swami said, this is the ring. And it was huge, like this. And the stone was also big. Mm. And because I happened to be sitting very close, and Swami actually came and showed us, he said this ring was given to Sumantara by Janak Maharaj, King Janaka, because he had rescued Sita. And then he said, see, but those days people were so huge. They were very tall, very big built. So, look at this. My fingers are small. I am small. So, here it's going round and round. It was so big.
So, the circumference was really huge. A big, fat finger.
Big, fat finger.
Would have gone in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And because they were huge, I believe. In the Treta Yuga, they were very big. That's but natural, isn't it? Because when in the Kurukshetra war, Krishna and Arjuna, they were 84, 85 years old. Of age, but they were considered as young men, isn't it?
So both lifespans and the physical frame that has evolved over the millions of centuries was very different at that
time. It was different.
Yeah.
Now the lifespan has also been shorter, and so also the physique.
Yeah.
So he showed us that, but the next day I think he had sent it back. So this is one, and there were other incidents also, but I'm just mentioning one. So that we saw with our eyes, and then And it was such a joy because Bhagwan was there, in that age. So, we're hearing it from him directly what Ramachandra was. And he also said, see, Ramachandra was Adarsha Purusha. So if you follow his action, you should follow his actions, but not Krishna, okay? Because if you follow Krishna's action, then you'll be beaten. You should follow his word, the Gita. He said that on that particular, that was during the course of that.
So the actions of Rama Avatar and the words of Krishna Avatar.
Yeah. He's always said that. Mm. At least I heard it on one occasion. And he said, you follow his Gita and actions of Rama, because Adarsha Purusha and each character and see, we came in 77, we attended the summer course in 77 when he was talking about the Ramayana. So, that's a coincidence anyway. Then I was thinking maybe I was a little monkey at that time or something like that, Trita Yuga, because we happened to be the fortunate few to witness all that. And then when I started staying there, I noticed one thing, that when this, because you were under the direct tutelage of Bhagwan himself, so one has to be very, very cautious, you know, whatever you think, whatever you say, your actions, everything, you have to be, you know, on your toes all the time, because you're being watched, you're being scrutinized, everything. Because many a times I noticed, you know, Swami said, where did you go? I saw you going out. Why did you go to the foreigner's house? Questions like this. But, you know, I used to be a little upset. I said, Swami, I haven't done anything wrong. Why are you so severe with me? Why are you shouting at me like this? Hmm. You know, I used to feel very bad at times. But then later on I would realize, well, what he's saying is good for us. He wouldn't allow us to associate much with people. He said, okay, you're making friends, just say hi, bye, that is enough. Why should you go and sit and chat for hours? Don't do that. And then the next day he comes to me and he said, you always stay behind your mother. I said, my God, what is this? As if anybody looks at me or anything of that sort. I'm not much to look at. And Swami saying, there are boys, so always stand behind your mother. Always stay behind your mother. Because even when he would be watching from his temple, his mandir, then the Trayavandavan came later, a little later. That time also he could see all of us. I mean, he would make it a point. He doesn't have to see with his physical eyes. He knows everything. But
even at human level, he expects a lot of a sense of self-awareness in our everyday behavior. Yes. And conduct.
Everything.
Hmm.
We have to.
So he didn't want you to place yourself in a position where you would make heads turn or get noticed.
Yeah. He was very particular about that.
Yeah. We also experienced that as students. He almost wanted us to be invisible.
Yes. Yes.
Except we wanted
to. Yeah, my cousin, even my Neil is going, even if he goes right past me, I wouldn't talk to him, or he also wouldn't talk to me. That experience I had when I was in Anantapur only, I saw my brother sitting on the other side. So I called him and I spoke. Swami literally blasted me, called me in for an interview and blasted me. He said, why did you talk to Hero? Rupak? You know what boys are saying? Rupak is talking to girls. Ye jagat hai. This is the world. Here you have to be very, very careful. I know your brothers and sisters. I know how pure your love is for your brother. But the people outside don't know. Tongues will wag. That's what he told us. So, you know, like every minute you have to be on your toes. You have to be very cautious. But anyway, that was good. We learned so much. I think we came into the fold at the right time, you know. Otherwise, maybe we would have gone astray. So, that was one incident. And then days passed by. We had such a wonderful time. Swami was showering his love. You know, his magnanimity we could see, because he was always giving us so many gifts. He would always speak to us, give us namaskar. But then slowly, say by 84, he started, "Dipali, you have to get married." And I begged and held on to his feet and I wept and I said, "Swami, no, I don't want to go anywhere, Swami. I'll stay here and serve you." I said, "Hey, keep quiet. Huh? Why do you want to stay here?" I said, "Swami, to serve you." He said, "No. See, a diamond does not shine amidst diamonds only. It will shine only when it is kept with coal." I didn't understand what he was saying because I didn't want to understand. I just wanted to hang on there only. And then slowly, slowly, every time he'll come with some alliance or the other, he said, "This boy is very good. Huh? He'll call us in for an interview and he'll say, 'I'm going to fix your marriage and jaldi jaldi shadi karna.' See, for my father's 60th birthday also, again there he started. I have to get Dipali married, find a good boy for her." Then he said, no, I'll only fight. So he was bringing alliance after alliance. Every time I would cry, howl. And the next day he'll call back and say, "Theek hai." Once I remembered, he was away from Vrindavan for a long period of time. Because the old building was being pulled down and the new one was coming up. And what we would do, we were there, of course, occasionally whenever Swami sent for us. Without his order, we wouldn't go. My father had work also. So what we would do, we would spend a lot of time doing seva, mopping, cleaning the Kalyan Mandapam. And I started, making pots for the Thray Vrindavan with succulents and different types of crotons and flowering plants and all that. And then decorate and look after those plants. And then I started painting placards with Swami's sayings and all that for the Kalyana Mandapam. So we kept doing. And during that period, I was blessed with two dreams. In one dream, I think I had pain, severe pain this side. Swami came
in your arm?
Yeah, in my arm. Right arm. And radiating pain. It stretched down to my arm and then down to my back. It was terrible. And then that night Swami came and he was massaging me and talking and all that. But in that house, Swami would come. Sometimes we won't even know. We would be inside. He would come and then go out. So in my dream also, it was so vivid. I felt that Swami had actually come. And then the second time he came and then he spoke to us. We were all talking and sat on the divan and all that. And then what happened? But I forgot about it. Just before my birthday, he sent word that I should come for his blessings for my birthday. So we went to Parthi. Swami calls me in. It was the 24th of March. And then he calls me in. I think it was in 84. Then Swami said, "I gave you two darshans, isn't it? Once you were a little disappointed because I didn't give you Pad Namaskar. When, Swami? You have not even been to Vrindavan for such a long time. We've been coming and taking darshan. Of course I went home and gave you the..." I said, "When, Swami?" In dream. That was the time when Swami told me that you cannot see me in your dreams also. Unless it is my sankalpa, unless I will it, you cannot see me in your dreams. So I said, "Oh, really, Swami?" And yes, he was always giving directions. That's what we have matured or mellowed over the ages because of certain instructions which he gave in dreams, interviews and discourses. So he said, "You won't see me." And there were many other things which he said, but I wanted to tell you about dreams, that he actually comes when, and sometimes he comes to warn you also. For instance, when these boys did that play, Kingdom of Heaven, my brother was Jesus Christ. At that time, just before the play, Swami came and told me, "Don't go to the Kalyan Mandapam, okay? Don't you ever go near the Kalyan Mandapam. My boys will be practicing." And that time, till then, nobody had actually spoken about a play or something. But that was Bhagwan's plan. So after that, after say about a fortnight, my brother was called to Parthi, and Swami said, now you have to pull, cut down on your diet, because you're going to enact the role of Jesus Christ. So, you have to lose a lot of weight, and you're going to practice over there in the Kalyan Mandapam. So he comes home at night, and he tells me that. My mother is looking at me, said, see, he told you about this a fortnight ago. So, and another interesting incident which I cannot refrain myself from telling was once when he came to the, came to me, because we were knitting cardigans for the children at Uti and some poor children in the hospital, me and my mom. So, Swami comes to me in my dream and says, you knit so many sweaters, so many cardigans for everybody. Why don't you make one for me? I had specially ordered wool from Germany, very thin wool, and I started knitting for Swami. I think I had finished the back or something. Swami calls us in for an interview. And Swami says, kya samachar? Swami, I'm knitting a cardigan for you. Cardigan? He opens his button. And he says, look, I don't even wear a vest. Didn't your brother tell me, tell you that when I went to Kashmir, I didn't wear anything warm. I don't need. I said, Swami, you are divine. You are God. You don't need it. Then he said, why do you say two things? Why do you contradict yourself? What he meant later on when I thought over it, I realized that when he had given me instructions to make a cardigan, I should have made and given him. I shouldn't have, I'm knitting a cardigan at the same time and I'm contradicting myself by saying that he doesn't need one. Okay, so even through the dreams he teaches you so many things. So then I said, my father told me when I came back, because that was the time when he asked my father to translate Sai Satcharita into Assamese. He said,
oh, the life story of Shirdi Sai Baba.
Yeah, my father has translated it into Assamese.
Oh, that's
Swami
very nice.
Yeah, Swami asked him to do it. And then my father came, when we came out, my father said, what is this? You were knitting the sweater, you got instructions from the deep. And that too after Swami told you that it only if he wills it, you don't see him. So when he wills it, what he intends to convey in his dream should be taken literally and very seriously. And you started off and then you're saying that God, you are God, you don't need it. So you are contradicted yourself. So you see, these are small incidents, but you learn a lot. And then another thing he kept telling my mother, that Deepali has a bright future. And I was wondering, what is this, Swami, bright future? What am I going to do? And my mother said, oh, Sisi, he must be having some plans for you. I said, what will I do? I am such a useless being. What can I do? I can't do anything. And then what happened? That was the time. Immediately after that, Swami started once again. He packed us off, like me and my father, dispose of your property. Because you're going to stay here permanently. You're not going back. Will your sons go back there? No, they won't. They're going to be here only. And get your daughter married. Find a good boy for her. So many alliances I brought. She never liked anybody. So now let her find one for herself. So he sent me with my father. He said, I give you a month's time. Father disposed of the main house. And then I looked around. And
so you went back to Assam.
And I came back again. He gave us just 1 month.
On groom hunting.
Where he said, sell off the house, the main house, and then come back, because you're not going back. Because if the house is there, you'll be
some
tempted.
Attachment.
Yeah, some attachment will be there. So, and then ask her to find a good boy for herself, as if I'm going to, not interested also, anyway. But then, you have these connections of your previous birth, some karmic connections.
Yeah.
And Bhagwan knows, we didn't know about it. So, and I went on telling Swami, Swami, I don't want to get married. 84 again, I had to go back. And then he said, now you go back, don't come back for 1 year. And then it started, boys from this side, that side, they were, all these alliances were coming, and then Swami only fixed my marriage. I was howling and I didn't want to get married, and then Swami said, no, no, no. First, husband seva and then Swami seva. So 10 long years of misery, suffering, whatever. Anyway, Swami, because they were not devotees. They were not. But Swami asked me to bring him here. So I brought him once. And immediately after my marriage, Swami called him. He had so much of grace. And he blessed us. He gave me a fruit and whatnot. And then, he actually wanted to perform the wedding here only, but as they were not willing to come, so he sent both my brothers and saris, jewelry, all that. And I had to get married. 10 years I had spent with him, helping him with his thesis, helping him with his publication. Well, all that is Bhagwan's work, I suppose. I don't know. He had to get those things done through me. So, after that, anyway, I separated for good. And immediately after that, but in the meantime, what was happening, there were so many conferences, orientation courses, etc. And for everything, I was always selected and sent from there, Assam. So I was gradually being trained up for Bal Vikas, for Educare. In fact, the first convention on Educare in 2001, I was given a topic. I had to speak on Seva Nishkama Karma. So from that time, I was involved, very much involved, but there was a lot of opposition from my in-laws' side. I was miserable. They didn't like my coming here to Swami. They didn't like me going and singing bhajans. I tried taking up Bal Vikas class, and there was a wonderful response. But then everywhere, you know, so many hurdles. So it was so tough for me. Then I remembered Bhagwan's words. Bhagwan said, first serve your in-laws, your husband, your in-laws, then Swami Seva. So ultimately everything was over, and I took the plunge. And now full time I'm involved. As a spiritual coordinator, I have to travel from one end of Assam to the other. We go to Meghalaya also, because Meghalaya is still with us. Arunachal is also still with us. So training up as a master trainer for the gurus also. And I've been traveling, went to Jamshedpur a couple of times. I spoke here also. And by God's grace, when I went to US also, I don't know how they came to know, someone recognized me in a bhajan, and then I started getting invitations from all over to speak about Swami. But one thing I noticed is they are more interested in knowing about our personal experiences, not anything else. Because I would be, at that point of time, I was talking about Educare. So now what is happening is, now since, you know, you do, when we are working and when we are in the Sai organization, it's not like just spirituality. It's a spiritual organization. It's different from all other organizations. We have to devote our time for everything, for seva, education, as well as spirituality. That means it's something which goes on throughout the year. And then, now, I'm involved with this Vidya Vahini as well. They have made me in charge of the training section. I'm in charge of the trainers. So, whatever God wanted me, probably this is the bright future Bhagwan was talking about. Anything associated with Bhagwan, to whom I'm so indebted for everything, is great. So it's such a joy to be associated with the Satya Sai organization, to have enjoyed so much of grace from Bhagwan. And I personally feel that there is a lot to give, whatever we have got, because Bhagwan kept saying that love is expansion, not contraction. That is something which each one of us should practice. Each nerve, each cell of our body should be exuding love. Love for the disease, love for the decrepit, love for the downtrodden. That's enough, I think.
Well, Ms. Dipali Chankakoti, I respectfully thank you for being so honest and upright and forthcoming in sharing your journey and your story. And I think the fact that you have translated the grace you have received into a plan of action, to becoming an instrument in his hands, that is something that I truly cherish very much, and I'm sure the listeners will love it. We do come across many individuals who have received tremendous grace, and then so what is my question. But here you are, you're translating that into everyday daily choices and to giving back to his mission and to his movement with so much of love and dedication, just being an instrument in his hands. For that, I salute you and I thank you very much.
God must give me the strength to do it, to live up to his expectations. Om Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, and greetings from Prashant Nilayam. I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai, hosting the segment Morning Glory on today's Thursday Live. Well, till now you listened to a conversation with Ms. Dipali Chankakoti from Assam, and in conversation with her was Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi. This conversation was second part of the conversation. The first part of the conversation was played last week, and if you have missed the conversation, you can download it from our website radiosai.org. Well, I would like to tell you that there are hundreds of such conversation with Sai students, where they speak about their experiences with Bhagwan, conversation with Sai devotees, in which they speak about their experiences with Bhagwan. You can access these conversations from Radio Sai website. So the link for accessing this conversation is radiosai.org/Sai students. And there are about 200 conversations with former Sai students. This comes as part of the series Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. And if you go to the link, radiosai.org/tryst, that is T-R-Y-S-T, tryst, there are about 200 conversations with Bhagwan's devotees. Okay, with that, I come to the end of this segment, Morning Glory. I offer this segment at Bhagwan's Lotus Feet, and thank you all for your wonderful company. Okay, before leaving, I would like to remind you again that whenever I feature this segment Morning Glory, whenever I host this segment Morning Glory, I will have a feature called Bhajan Request Program, in which you can mail me the name of a Sai Bhajan which you would like to listen to again and again, and I will play it for you. Well, dear listeners, the Morning Glory segment is from 9:40 a.m. and 11 a.m. And in between, we'll be playing a couple of interviews. And in between these interviews, I'll play these bhajan requests. So, dear listeners, don't get disappointed if I didn't play the bhajan request that you have requested. But in future, whenever I host the Morning Glory, I'll play it for you. So today, as part of this Bhajan Request program, I got a couple of mails, and the time is already 11:10. It's time for Radio Sai Answering Booth. So I'll play these bhajans next Thursday. But before concluding, I'll play one bhajan, the bhajan requested by a listener whose mail I got first as part of today's Bhajan Request program. So that that's Brother Ajay Rajan from Chennai, and he has requested for the bhajan Humko Tumse Pyar Kitna as an offering to Bhagwan. So let's listen to this bhajan, and on the other side of this bhajan, you will be joined by Brother Prem, who is already in studios now, for hosting the segment Radio Sai Answering Booth. Jai Sai Ram.
నేనెప్పుడు మీ వెంటనే జంటనే ఇంటనే ఉంటూ ఉంటాను. కనుక మీరందరూ కూడా ఐకమత్యంతో పనిచేయండి. నా సీట్ ఇక్కడ కాదు, నా సీట్ మీ యొక్క హృదయమే. కనుకనే మీరు ఎక్కడ ఉంటే అక్కడ కూడా స్వామి ఉంటున్నాడు.
స్వామి ఇస్ దేర్ వెరెవర్ యు ఆర్.
ఏ కొరతను మీకు జరగవు.
నథింగ్ విల్ హ్యాపెన్ టు యు.
ఏ విధమైనటువంటి అపజయాలు మీకు జరగవు.
యు విల్ నెవర్ హావ్ ఫెయిల్యూర్.
కానీ పరిపూర్ణమైన విశ్వాసంతో మీరు పనులు ప్రారంభించండి.
వర్క్ విత్ టోటల్ ఫెయిత్.
ఏ పని చేసినా కూడా ఇది భగవత్ కార్యంగా భావించండి.
వాట్ ఎవర్ యు మే డూ గుడ్ వర్క్ టేక్ ఇట్ యాస్ గాడ్స్ వర్క్.